Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with Tick Pick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the Tick Pick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Reunited, and it feels so good. It was a song by Peaches and Herb from a long time ago. Welcome to the Krug Show meets the John Chapman Experience. Johnny's back from his vacation. I'm back from whatever the heck I've been doing, and it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to talk about a little Niner football, a little OTAs, look ahead to training camp. We're going to do all of it right here, right now. Come on aboard. Thank you. Off and running on a Saturday, 9:19 West Coast, 19 minutes afternoon back east. Welcome to June the 7th. You guys all made it through my youngest son's birthday. That was yesterday. Christopher has turned 16. He is out on the road. He's out on the road. And when I say that, I mean he's driving now. So be careful for this kid. I took him driving the other day. It was rough. It was rough. I mean, we were in an empty parking lot. There was a lot of, slow down.
It's a lot.
You're drifting.
Yeah. We're going through the same thing with our 16-year-old Larry, and it's a DMV trip later this week, and he's getting his final done. So
wow.
That's kind of where we're at. So yeah, that's a fun time period, man.
Seriously, good times for sure, and we'll be practicing in a parking lot later today. But we're glad you're all here. Welcome to the Krug Show. The Krug Show, of course, on our side is brought to you by Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m., and they do run out, so don't get there late. Get there early. Get some brisket chili. Tell them the Krug sent you. We're also brought to you by Claw Daddy Arcades right beneath John's head. You see their moniker there. They're a great follow on Instagram, @claw_daddy_arcades, to find an arcade location in the Bay Area near you. And we're also brought to you by our good friends at Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. They're at 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, on the Monterey Peninsula. My good friend Anthony Catania is at 831-521-5264. And he's a great follow on Instagram at Sharp Corners 831 on Instagram. And last but certainly not least, Learn Key Upskill Academy. The show is sponsored by them. They're an online learning platform designed to get you job ready in 6 months or less. It doesn't matter what field you're interested in. They offer 30 certification programs to get you job ready and upskilled, which is why they're called Learn Key Upskill Academy. They've been in business for 37 years. They helped over 200,000 students. They help about 100 every month placed in new jobs. So check it out. The link's in the description for all of the sponsors. Thanks to them all for being proud sponsors of the Krug Show. OTAs came and went. Mandatory minicamp is next week. I'll be there for 2 days of minicamp, and then they shut it down until training camp. So we're kind of, it's like what we're looking at is what we're going to be looking at as far as the Niners are concerned. What you see is what you get, largely. There could be an addition here or there. Before we get into who potentially could break out in 2025, John, you've read a bunch, you've watched a bunch on the OTAs, the Niner offseason. You had Nick Martin on your show. You had several of these guys on your show. You've had a chance to actually converse with a number of the draft picks. Where are you on this 49er offseason? And is there work to be done before training camp personnel-wise? Or do you feel comfortable with where they're at roster-wise?
I think that the overall offseason continues to get better and better. Like, I love how they closed it out with the restructures and extensions of three of your cornerstone pieces. I love the Bryce Huff trade. And shout out to Larry. You were on top of that one 100%. So, like, I like where they're at. I still do believe there are some glaring depth issues at certain parts of this roster that, you know, I don't mind relying on rookies, but relying on multiple rookies to hit is a little bit of a concern to me. So do I expect the 49ers to go out and do some more big boy trades? I don't at this point, but I would like to see a little bit more shuffling of the back end of the roster with some more veteran experience at the defensive tackle position. I wouldn't mind that. The linebacker position, I like the depth that they have there. But I think wide receiver and corner are two positions that, at least wide receiver early on in the year, and then the cornerback outside corner, like, you've got a lot of guys fighting for those nickel spots. You know, we're going to talk about a guy that, you know, breakout candidates and all that kind of stuff that not a lot of people are talking about. And Ciaran Neal, that dude might be a day one starter. And it's like, the contract, the problem is this. I love Upton Stout, and I think that he's great. And can he earn that starting nickel role, you know, and be that third corner? That's what the 49ers want. But, man, if you're going with, kind of what the contracts say, what the money in an offseason where they didn't give out money to new people. Ciara Neal got over $2 million guaranteed dollars for this season. He's got a little bit more experience on the outside. Like, I think that there is an outside shot that Ciara Neal might be your starting corner week one. That number.
Wow. So I just did a breakdown video on the seven new corners because that when I after I went to OTAs, I'm looking at the roster and I'm thinking, okay, what? You know, what is a, you know, what are videos that I want to make? What are things I want to say? What do I think of this roster, you know, top to bottom? I'm just kind of going through it. And when I got to the defensive backfield, I thought, wow, they have 10 new players in the defensive backfield. Let's go. Let's review this. Just on the corner, Trey Brown, Trey Avery. Now, granted, I think Trey Avery might have been there last year, but he didn't play. So Trey Brown, Trey Avery, Jacob Robinson. Upton Stout, Dallas Flowers, Saron Neal, Derek Canteen. So that's seven. That's seven corners that weren't here last year. And then if you go to the safety position, you got to add Jason Pinnock and Richie Grant and Marcus Siegel. So you add that together right now, they have 10 new defensive backs in their defensive backfield room. And it's a mix mash of guys. I mean, it really is. I went through the list and looked at their traits and everything. Trey Brown's considered a special teams ace. He's a veteran. He hasn't looked great. Trey Avery is a guy who's better in zone than man. He actually has looked pretty good. Chase Lucas has been on this roster before. I think he's too small. I think he's very popular with his teammates, but I don't think he makes it. Jacob Robinson from BYU runs in the 4-3s. Lenore and Green and Stout are probably your starters. Darrell Luter looks like a ton, but, you know, he's looked like a ton the whole time. It's kind of now or never for him. And then you got three other guys. You got Dallas Flowers, who comes over from the Colts, who actually does have really good size and really good speed. Then you have Saron Neal, who played at Jacksonville, who's kind of a special teams ace, but he doesn't run well. I mean, he's got a mid-4.5s 40. He played linebacker once upon a time, and he's kind of a linebacker safety corner now. I don't know. And then there's Canteen, who had, you know, 9 interceptions and 3 different stops in college, and Jacob Robinson had 11 career interceptions. So those guys are undrafted guys who have great ball skills. I think it'll be interesting. I didn't realize the financial component involved with Saron Neal, which probably means he's probably, you know, one of these backup corners, whether it's number 5 or number 6 on the list here, are going to be guys who can play special teams. So I would say, you know, between the guys who are going to play special teams, and that would be like Trey Brown, Trey Avery, Chase Lucas, and let's say Saron Neal. I think one of those guys probably makes it. Maybe two.
And I think I like the approach that they're doing where you just throw a bunch of stuff and see what sticks. You've got some experience. You've got some high upside rookies. You've got some scrappy undersized guys. But ball skill seems to be prevalent there. But when the 49ers go out there, and you know, you're talking week one division opponent playing against the Seattle Seahawks. Like, do you go with the experience or you go high upside youth? I'm not so sure that youth is kind of the way that you want to go across the board in the secondary, especially whenever, like, there's a chance you're not going to have either one of your top two safeties out there. So I think a veteran approach, and again, that outside corner spot, I mean, is it Trey Brown? Is it Ciara Neal? Is it Darrell Luter Jr.? We'll have to see how that kind of looks. And, you know, thankfully we have time to go through that. You've been at OTAs just crushing it, man. And appreciate all the content you brought, all the interviews and all the videos. Good Lord. Great job, Larry. Thanks, but man. Who's going to be that guy? I'm really big on trusting veterans early. And if the contract, I know people are saying like $2 million guaranteed is nothing. In an offseason where they gave out no guaranteed money to any new player besides Luke Farrell, I think that it says something. And so we'll see how it shapes out. But I think Ciara Neal has a shot.
No, I think you're right. I think you're definitely right. It's going to be wide open. It's going to be absolutely wide open. It's going to be an incredible competition. And I don't know if there's, we know Upton Stout's got the inside angle at the job. One thing I have heard is that the Niners really love the brain of Marquise Siegel. Now, Marquise Siegel did not play in the OTAs. He was in civvies. I don't know what his injury is. But a couple people that talked to, we talked to the coaches this week, and I talked to the ones I wanted to talk to. I didn't get a chance to talk to the DB coaches, but Leonard Hankerson, the wide receiver coach, didn't talk to him, didn't talk to the DB coach. But Marcus Siegel is, had 4.37 speed, and they think he's got it all between the ears as far as free safety. So I would not be surprised if and Pinnock and Richie Grant, I think, have looked really good. Richie Grant had a fantastic practice the other day where he made like 5 or 6 tackles. And Pinnock, you can tell, he's an alpha type guy. He's a leader. He's a talker. He's a guy that I think is going to be in the mix. He's one of Robert Saleh's favorites. So I don't know. I mean, you need 10 DBs. You need 5 safeties. You need 5 corners. Their 5 safeties, let's just say, are Brown, Grant, Pinnock, Siegel, and Odom until Malik Mustafa gets ready. Probably Mahoney gets cut. And then your 5 corners are Green, Lenore, Stout, I'll say Luter, and maybe Saron Neal. That could be your 5. So it's going to be interesting, but there's going to be a lot of competition in that defensive backfield for sure. For sure. And the question I would have is, are they good enough? Is it good enough? I mean, I was looking at their schedule. I mean, every week there's really tough receivers that they have to go up against. And it's going to be really baptism by fire for a lot of these young DBs and these kind of borderline DBs to see if they can make it. If I could add a player, I think I would try to add a wide receiver. I mean, there's talk about, Asante Samuel Jr. corners and Amik Robertson could be traded and Jalen Ramsey could be traded and the guy from Green Bay could be traded. And I just don't see the Niners, maybe at the cutdown I could see them doing something or if there's some injuries. But I think they've got a lot of bodies there that they want to sift through on the perimeter on defense. But the perimeter on offense – I think you could use one more guy. If you really look closely at the Niner receiving core, Ayuk's not going to be there probably until Thanksgiving. Pearsall's had injuries. We just don't know. Jennings is a good possession receiver, tough guy, but, he's not fast. And then DeMarcus Robinson had a great practice yesterday or 2 days ago. He looked really good. He was all over the place. Jordan Watkins has looked good. Cowings looked good. Bergen has not looked good. He's been juggling punts. And to me, that's what he does is catch punts. So it's like, I don't know if he's going to make it. Isaiah Nayer has definitely shown on the practice field a little bit of Malik Knowles, but they could use another receiver. I'm not saying I like the idea of Malachi Corley, a younger receiver who you could cut or put on the practice squad or develop or that you might be able to get cheaper. Other people are saying Amari Cooper and Gabe Davis came in for a workout. And, there's other people out there as well that are being – Keenan Allen's name has been floated out there, a number of veterans. If I could get one more wide receiver, I think I'd feel a little bit better.
Yeah, outside. Like, you've got a lot of the slot guys. I love the addition of Malik Knowles. He was one of the guys I was really big on coming out of the 2023 draft. He fits that kind of yak gadget guy role, which the 49ers actually don't have on this roster anymore. It used to be all guys like that. Now, with the addition of Brock Purdy, they're going with more horizontal separation. But I like Malik Knowles. I think that he
provides something. You think he can be a Debo? You think he can play the Debo role?
I mean, that's what he did at K-State. And yeah. He was, he was at his best when the game mattered most, whether it was punt returns, jet sweeps, handoffs, screens, he has that electrifying break tackle, kind of special wide back look to him. And he just hasn't been healthy in his 2 years. So can the health finally stick? And can he finally win that role? But the need is outside. It's not inside. Even if Malik Knowles hits, you're still struggling at outside. Now, you can keep Juwan Jennings there, and he plays that X role, but that's not what he's designed to do. So whenever you go three wide receiver sets, like, you would like to have some more outside depth. You talked about the hamstring issues with Ricky Pearsall, who we all love and are excited about, but man, he had the fewest practices all last training camp before he got shot. Now the injuries are back like that. Like, you need time. He needs time. It's just a little shallow at that outside wide receiver spot. And I mean, you know, there's a couple positions where if you have an injury, you're in kind of dire straits. And outside wide receiver is definitely one early on. It's Juwan Jennings right now. And that's about it. I mean, Tariq Owens, all right. Like, Isaiah Nair, all right. Like, these are guys that couldn't play at, you know, the elite college level at all. Maybe they've developed and are ready for that, but I just think those are some shallow positions, at least early.
I mean, I am a believer. I am a deaf destroyer of words. I am become deaf destroyer of words.
Love it.
This is Keenan Allen could be our next Anquan Boldin. Emmanuel Sanders, plus he balled out with Caleb. We'll see. I didn't see this one, but 49 Reasons says Chris Conley has just retired per Ian Rappaport. Yeah.
Shout out to Conley, man. Did all the dirty work. A-plus special teamer. Never complained. Just one of those glue team guys that you have in football. Chris Conley, man. Hell of a career. 10 years. And happy for him. He's getting into movie making now. And so just wish him nothing but the best.
Smart guy. Angel Corral. Happy birthday, Christopher. Don't worry. You'll get your license, bud. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. It's all predicated on how he drives, damn it. David East, his thoughts on Lombardi as quarterback coach. I don't know if he could run his YouTube channel and be quarterback. Oh, different Lombardi.
He's talking about Mick Lombardi.
Oh, Mick Lombardi.
I give it to David. I think he could do it.
David as the quarterback coach. You know, we talked to Mick Lombardi just for a minute. And, I mean, I only got a chance to talk to him for a minute. So I didn't get a lot of deep dive material on anything from Mick. I did ask him about how important it is for, you know, coaches in June to get away. And he's like, yeah, man. I mean, we spend such crazy hours in season that if we don't spend this June month really getting hunkering down with our families, we're doing ourselves a disservice. This is kind of like the calm before the storm. And, you know, and then we're going to devote everything we got to football and our families all get it. So it's like, it's really vitally important that these guys go on vacation and, you know, really don't come to the facility and really don't think football during this June off time, because this is the only off time these guys get. And then in July, there's no like, hey, my kid's got a recital, you know, fuck your kid's recital. Sorry. We have the Rams coming up. And that's going to take precedent. So, you know what I mean? Or we have whatever coming up, and that always takes precedent. But as far as his thoughts on him as a quarterback coach, you know, I'm a believer that you want to change the coaches a little bit from time to time because you get a fresh perspective instead of the same 9 or 12 or 15 anecdotes or things. You get a little bit of different things to think about. So I think it can be good. Obviously, he's got to be competent. Greasy was, you know, a former NFL quarterback in his own right. You know, this guy is, you know, it's, you know, what he's going to focus on, I don't know. But, you know, it's a challenge here because you've got Brock Purdy, and Brock Purdy was better in 22 and 23 than he was in 24. Part of that is because the line wasn't good. Part of it is because his weapons got hurt. Part of it is because he held the ball too long. But I think Brock wants to, you know, be more efficient and get the ball out of his hands a little quicker and not hold it as long and not wait late in the down so often as he did last year. So I think there's a little bit of that. And then you've got Mac Jones and you've got Mordecai and you've got, you know, the growth and development of Curtis Rourke. So I think it's going to be a positive.
Yeah.
I do have some thoughts watching the quarterbacks. I think Purdy looks the best I've ever seen him. I think he looks decisive and strong. He just—I don't know if the contract gave him more confidence, but he just looks very, very good. And then Tanner Mordecai, who's year two in this offense, also looks spectacular. He had one run. Now, granted, it's quarterback run in practice, so you don't want to put too much on that because a lot of times that means that he couldn't find a guy to throw to. But Tanner Mordecai has 4.46 speed, and it really shows. And he probably has the best arm strength of any of their quarterbacks.
It's not close, man. I remember seeing four come in training camp, you know, with like the threes and whatever, and the ball comes out, and all the wide receivers are like, "Whoa, calm down!" Like that shows up quick, man. He's got a good arm on there.
So Dieter and I went bold predictions, and I'll throw this to you as well. But my bold prediction was Tanner Mordecai is going to beat out Mac Jones. Because Tanner Mordecai looks way better right now than Mac Jones. But granted, he's got an advantage. But that was my bold prediction. Dieter's bold prediction was that the Niners' offensive line would be a top five offensive line this year.
If that happens, the 49ers won the division, and it's not close.
Yeah, that would be a good one. That would be a good one if that happens.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Before we get to John's bold prediction, flipping shrubs is why keep Trent Taylor? He's IR now, but still,
he ain't going to be around. So, like, the process, the way that works is you can't cut a player who's injured. So you put him on the injured reserve, like the IR/reserve. There's IR active, PUP, and all that stuff. So, like, he's not allowed to play a snap for the 49ers now in this 2025 season. So what's going to happen probably in about 3 to 4 weeks, they'll release him on an injury settlement. So there's 0% chance Trent Taylor can play, but you're not allowed to release him. This is the process to get him off the roster. So he will be removed on an injury settlement probably in about 2 to 6 weeks.
I think in short, flipping shrub is going to have as much impact as Trent Taylor this year on the roster. He's not going to play. He's not going to play. So yeah, don't spend any time worrying about Trent Taylor, but thank you for the $1.99. All right. What is your, do you have a bold prediction before we get into who potentially could break out in 2025?
Yeah. People aren't probably going to like this because everybody likes the shiny new toys. And I think this is not a negative. I think D Winters is going to be the starting number two linebacker early on in the year. And not that that is an indictment against Martin at all. It's just, I think that the best way to bring about Martin, Nick Martin, is to be that number three and then earn the number two. I know, you know, I asked Nick personally, like, are you starting next to Fred Warner as number two week one? He said, hell yeah, I am. Like, I didn't even get to finish the sentence. Like, he has the right mindset. He has the right attitude. But I think D Winters is going to bring a little bit of that extra. He's got the athleticism. He's got the experience. I want those two guys out there. And personally, I want Nick Martin to earn and prove that's my job in the regular season, not so much training camp. But either which way it shakes out, I'm excited. But I think D Winters is probably going to win that number two job.
Interesting. he looks great. He's flying around. I asked Johnny Holland about his linebacking core this week, and he said that D Winters was the most improved linebacker from last year to this year, and that it's a lot of it's verbal, and that he's just becoming more of a vocal leader. And, you know, he knows he needs to kind of lead the unit now because he's one of the veteran guys there. And so he's taking on an added responsibility, and those leadership, that leadership role suits him. I will say this though, when Johnny was talking about Nick Martin, he said, there's no doubt he's going to be a very good NFL player.
Oh, love the attitude. Oh. Niners might have got lucky with that one, man. Because without that injury, it's not happening. Like, this dude's going early. And a horrible off-ball linebacker class, I want to be very honest with you. Like, it was Jihad Campbell, then giant gap. But if Nick Martin was healthy and put together another year like he did in 2023 for Oklahoma State, like, it might have been 1A, 1B, in which case he would have went the top of the second round. So the idea of getting Alfred Collins and Nick Martin would have been not a possibility at all. So 49ers might have hit it out of the park with that one. I really hope that comes true.
I really love Nick Martin. I love the interview you did with him because you could tell he's an alpha. He's a true leader. He doesn't want to just show up. He doesn't want to just make the NFL. He wants a star in the NFL. He wants to lead the team. You know, he doesn't want to make the team. He wants to lead the team. But we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be really, really good to watch. I like that position. I think they're fortified there, you know, pretty well. Did you get a chance to see the Matt Barrows article in The Athletic on Nick Martin?
It's pretty awesome. Chauncey,
his brother Chauncey went to prison and then got out of prison. And while he was in prison, he was inspired on Saturdays. They let the prisoners watch TV. He was getting to watch his brother play college football. And he's like, I'm going to do right. I'm going to rectify my life. He got out of prison. He went to Harding College, a Division III program, I believe, gets his degree, and is now trying out to play in the UFL. And it's like, man, I mean, that's an incredible story. I mean, not that, you know, going to prison is a good thing. That's obviously not. But if you can overcome that incredible negativity and not let it just own you, I thought it was an amazing story, and it kind of shows that, you know, the perseverance that, you know, Chauncey showed, and we'll see if Nick can, you know, lead the way and become a great 49er linebacker. I will say this, from talking to Johnny Holland, Johnny really talked up Nick Martin, talked up D Winters. But then he also really had a lot of good things to say about Stone Blanton. When I asked him about Stone Blanton, I thought he was just going to kind of low-key it and be like, oh, yeah, you know, he's just here. He's like, yeah, he shows up at the football. There's a lot of things we really like about him. He tell him one thing. He says he can take coaching. He can take hard coaching. He's like, he wants to learn. You tell him something once, he corrects it. He never does it again. He says he's a really interesting player that we like a lot. So That's
only undrafted free agent to get any guaranteed money this year. Only one. So
isn't that
like,
amazing?
Just saying. And he just got married. Congrats to him.
And now, did you had, was Stone one of the guys that you talked to?
Yeah, he was on the show.
Yeah,
he was awesome.
I think man. I saw that. And you got him early on. I mean, this was it like right the day after the draft, maybe, or something like that. Or
yeah, it was that week. And so, like, what a cool dude, man. And I mean, his name's Stone. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah.
He got offered baseball scholarships, and he kind of had to choose. So you're talking about like an athlete that is just the right mindset. You know, just a workout warrior. And so whatever you hear Johnny Holland say, dude, you got to tell this guy once. Like, he is honed in. Major film junkie, all those things. And so just built right. And again, linebacker, there's a lot of new additions. And with Robert Saleh, you got to understand, none of these other linebackers were Robert Saleh picks. So you've got all these new guys coming in. There's a lot of space available there. And, you know, in an offseason, again, where they didn't give out much guaranteed money to new players, Stone Blanton was the one out of seven undrafted free agents that got any guaranteed money. So he was high on the list.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing that I really would want to be critical of the Niners for, it's that they didn't spend more money in the undrafted market. I mean,
that was a loaded class, man.
That was short-sighted. That was not wise. And that wasn't a great savings. You know, you didn't save. Who cares? So you spent $2 million less than the Eagles. They got four players for those $2 million that you probably could use, including guys like, you know, Holland Pierce, who could be a future starter for the Eagles at right guard. And so the Niners, I know they're trying to save money, but choose another area to save money. I mean, to cut off the undrafted market in a year where it was an incredibly deep draft was not wise. And that might be their undoing this year. We'll see. That's such an incredible market. And the Niners have dominated that market and have landed big time guys. Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson. I mean, we could go on. Kevin Givens, Azeez Al-Shaair. I mean, the Niners have found undrafted players of note. So for them to sit out and then their comment, Tariq Ahmad's comment to Matt Barrows in the Athletic piece reviewing the draft was like, hey man, we had 3 7th round picks and we wanted three more because there was all kinds of guys we loved in the 7th round. All the more reason to spend money in the undrafted free agent market. And I thought that was a very cheapo move by the Niners. And hopefully it doesn't burn them, but we'll see. I mean, that was not smart. I didn't like that at all. You're saving, what, $2 million? You probably blow $2 million on confetti. You probably, you probably blow $2 million on, like, fertilizer for sod that you're not going to use. I mean, it's just absolutely asinine for them not to spend that money. And I thought, considering they had all, you get free agents because of money and need, and they had plenty of need. And they just didn't bring any money to the table. Baffling. Truly,
it was
baffling.
A head scratcher. It was a head scratcher. But hopefully, some of these guys hit. And I do like the guys that they brought in. It's not
it's not that we don't like them, but it's like they could have. It was a market that could have been. They could have gotten two or three more significant guys, and I bet you one or two of those guys could have made the roster. And don't tell me it's a non-factor because Evan Anderson last year, by the end of the year, might have been one of their two or three best defensive linemen, and they signed him as an undrafted free agent. So,
yeah, he made about 10 times what the entire undrafted free agent class made this year himself.
Unbelievable. But
excited to see what he's going to do this year, though. I'm pretty psyched for Evan Anderson. Now, it was a little bit you go get not one, but two absolute beast run stuffers. Like, that's what Evan Anderson was. Now you have three. And so, like, what is going to be the opposite? Where's the true three techniques this year? That's one of the ones where it's like, Sebastian Valdez, another one of those undrafted free agents. Like, he's one of the only true three techs that you added, that kind of 6'2", 6'3", 300-pound slasher role. Like, you don't have a lot of those guys anymore. That's how you used to build your defense under Robert Saleh. Yeah, we're seeing a little bit of evolution. It's kind of fun.
Well, I'll tell you, the three guys that really shined to me of the new guys in the mini camp were C.J. West, Jordan Watkins, Nick Martin. I thought Martin had a couple of real amazing plays where he showed great speed. CJ West, the power in his hands. I even said it to Kasarik. I'm like, man, I know you've been around this D-line for a while and you've coached a lot of different guys, but I go, where are CJ West's hands on the, you know, the hands chart as far as, you know, the greatest hands you've ever coached? And he's like, man, he's like, they're powerful. They're violent. He's like, let's just say this. His hands are advanced. I'm like, yeah, there's no question. His hands are advanced. I mean, he has, when he comes out of his stance, he rocks the guy back in front of him. And there was a couple times where him and Evan Anderson this week got knockbacks, and you could see the GAs running the bags just go flying. And you see Chris's eyes open wide. And I heard him say a couple times to CJ and to Evan Anderson, great knockback, great knockback. So the power in the hands of West and Anderson, unbelievable.
One of the best things when you're watching D-line tape and the all 22 is you see the offensive lineman and you see that helmet pop. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you're looking for. And so, like, when they engage and they strike and you see the offensive lineman head, you know, just the helmet, you know, lift, it's just like, ah. And that was consistent with CJ. It was absolutely consistent. And you got Alfred Collins, who, yeah, he's violent, he's strong, all that, but it's different. He's a true two-gapper that reads blocks, and, you know, he uses his upper body strength to stack and shed and toss the offensive lineman out of the way, whereas CJ just goes through your soul. You know what I mean? Just like, it's just violent, and that head popping back, ugh. It's poetry in motion, man. It just makes me happy on the inside.
Before we go with the bust out, guys, give me your do you have a concern? Because, like, my first concern is just that I've seen a lot of rookies, and some are good in, you know, mini camps. Some are good in training camps. Some aren't good until the second half of the year. Some aren't good until their second year. And as you stated, the Niners kind of need C.J. West, Alfred Collins, Mikel Williams, Nick Martin, Upton Stout, Marquise Siegel. They need all these guys to not be hurt, to not be guys that take a year and a half to adjust. They need these guys to hit the ground running and play and produce right away. And what are the odds that they're going to go 6-for-6 on those defenders?
Yeah, it's almost impossible. It's unheard of. But you're hoping the system, the opportunity, and they all hit. That's kind of my biggest issue with this offseason is you don't have the veteran depth if they don't all hit early. So, like, here's one of the things that I really want to talk about, Larry. So I want to steer this conversation just a little bit about concerns. You nailed Jordan Watkins. And shout out to you, because this is one player that you and I disagree with. Now, right. I want Jordan Watkins to be a baller, and he has shown early on, all right, like, this dude belongs. You get positive stuff from Brock Purdy. You're getting nice highlights. He's getting separation, all those things. My concern, and this is where I want to turn it back to you, he is at his best in shirt and shorts. He's at his best in the combine. Everybody talks about why they picked him. They're all combine, combine, combine. Can this translate when the pads come on and Demo and Renardo Green start getting physical? That's one of the ones I want to see, and I hope so, because if Jordan Watkins hits, we talked about our biggest concern on offense being that outside wide receiver. That's what he does. And so is there a chance when the pads come on, he's going to shrink back a little bit? And is there also a chance this guy could earn a spot in getting snaps early in the season at outside wide receiver?
Well, you know, it's a totally different world for pro and college wide receivers. And I asked Shanahan about it. I'm like, why is it that rookie receivers struggle? And he gave me a real long answer the other day, and it was a good one too. And it was like, he basically could have summed it up with, there's just so much more complexity in the NFL. And that really would have summed it up. But what he was saying was like, hey, look, man, in college, like, you look to the sideline, you don't even know a play. Some guy holds up a gigantic green card and just goes, ah, look, you see green, and you're like, oh, I know my route, okay? Or he holds up a card that's like half red and half orange or something like that, and you know what that means. Or, you know, somebody just says to you, hey, don't worry, the next play is it's a run the other way, so conserve your energy. And guys, you know, come off the ball like they're not even involved in the play because they're not involved in the play.
Yeah, Ole Miss does that a lot.
when I was in the Canadian League, we were playing an early season game against a team called the Las Vegas Posse. Okay. And they had added Tamarick Vanover from Florida State to their roster. And he was he was like one of the youngest players in all of Canada. And they gave me one tape and they're like, here's his one tape. Go find something that we can use. And this is like 3-4 hours before the game. So I'm just rolling this tape back and forth and I'm a young grad assistant and I don't even know what I'm looking for. All I know is this guy was really fast. He ran 4.3s at Florida State. He left Florida State because he got in trouble. So he's in Canada now. So I'm like, well, he's obviously going to be really talented because he's a big-time prospect for the draft. So I'm watching him. I'm not getting anything out of it. So then one of the older grad assistants comes over and sits down with me, and he's like, what are you looking for? Before we start roll this tape, what are you looking for? I go, I don't know. That's the problem. I don't know what I'm looking for. And he's like, just do this. Put yourself in the mind of the receiver throughout the tape. Just try to, you played football. Put yourself in the mind of the receiver as you're watching the tape. So I'm watching the tape and I'm studying this thing and it hits me. After about 10, 15 snaps, I'm noticing that sometimes the guy's fidgeting with his gloves a ton, but only on certain plays. Certain plays, he's lining up and the flap of the gloves is in the wind. You could see it flapping. And then other plays, he's walking to the line and he's cinching it up really, really tight. And we watched 10 plays, 12 plays. Every time he didn't cinch it up, it was a run. Every time he cinched up those gloves extra tight, it was a pass play. He was giving away run pass coming out of the huddle by the way he adjusted his gloves. And I told the defensive coordinator, I said, hey, look, he's like, what do you got on Vanover? I'm like, I don't got much on him other than we should probably play off of him because he looks like he runs really fast. The only thing I do have is I've noticed that he's really he leaves those gloves flapping on run plays and he tightens them up really like definitively coming out of the huddle on every passing play. He's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And so he told our guys to key for that and we smoked them by 40. I mean, we were all over them. And this receiver was giving away run pass, and he was a raw, young Canadian League receiver. And when he went out of the game, we had a harder time defending them because we didn't know run or pass. So I'm just saying there are things that, you know, there's raw – receivers are raw. But I will say this, especially as rookies, but this guy runs great, and he's very crisp in and out of his breaks. I will say this. You can tell some rookies get on the field with pro athletes and they're like, oh shit, look at all these guys. There's none of that with him. This guy played at Ole Miss. They got all kinds of athletes. He's, you know, played in the SEC. He's not worried about the athletic competition. He's got a strut to him. And, I really like him. To me, I hear you though. I'm a little, I don't know what to expect from him because he's a rookie wide receiver on the other side of things, Jacob Cowing, and I don't know about Ricky Pearsall. I would imagine Pearsall does too, but Jacob Cowing looked phenomenal in this minicamp. You know, what I noticed is that last year he fell down a lot. This year, every time you're looking at him, you're looking at the back of his jersey. This guy has definitely gotten faster. Whether he's gotten faster, he's playing faster because he recognizes what he's doing out there. He looks really good. And it's not just that he's running well. There were some rocket throws. Like Mordecai put one on him and it was just a laser. And, you know, it was a tough it was like a corner route. And he's running towards the sideline. The ball's coming over his left shoulder and it's on a line. And it was a laser. He dove for it and caught it. So, I mean, his hands are a lot more pure than they were a year ago. So, I mean, they look more pure. They look more developed. So, I think Cowing is one of my bust-out guys. I think Jacob Cowing is going to have a big, big year. And my other bust-out guy on offense is Isaac Garendo. Isaac Garendo, John. Oh, my God. I mean, I asked Bobby T. about him, and he said, you know, his attitude is the best of almost anybody I've had. He's like, he really wants to get better. He really wants to work hard. I said he caught 15 of 16 balls last year, Johnny. Is that our Bobby? Is that, you know, what did you think of his ball skills? He's like, oh, yeah, he's got great hands. He's got great hands. He can catch the passes. He's got to work on some things, but they love what they see. And I think Garendo could be huge this year.
My thing is, you know, Brock last year when CMC went out, he just kind of got rid of the checkdowns and for some reason would not throw it to Jordan Mason, no matter how open he was. But it didn't seem to translate that way whenever Isaac Garendo was in there. So there's definitely some more trust between Purdy and Garendo. And like, if I could have it my way, which is never going to happen, like I want to see Garendo and CMC in the backfield early on, especially whenever you're short at wide receiver on the outside. Like, man, go out there at some 21 personnel, two backs, have CMC motion out to be that slot wide receiver and allow Garendo to get some carries, get some touches, get some checkdowns from that running back position early on. I'm not saying take CMC off. I'm saying use CMC as a chess piece, allow somebody else to carry that load and get, you know, 5 to 10 carries a game up the middle. Because I think Garendo's at his best when he has a predetermined hole. That's the jump I want to see is can the vision and the outside zone for Garendo increase a little bit? You know, most of his big plays last year, even the clip that they put out on the swing pass, like when he knows the assignment and where he's supposed to go, Garendo's at his best. When he has to allow plays to develop and see, that vision is lacking, or at least it was last year. Can that grow? But the opportunity's there. You ship Jordan Mason out. Running back two is yours. Jordan James is behind you. But, like, man, the 49ers, if you could get a quality year, it doesn't have to be running back one. I'm not saying that at all. But if you could get a change of pace, which is crazy because he's faster than Christian McCaffrey, but, like, that change of pace back, that could spell, and you don't have to alter your game plan. You could still check down. You could still hit those swing routes. You can still do all those things. Man, this 49ers offense doesn't miss a beat when CMC might get a breather or two. Oh, that would be paramount for the 49ers offense.
First bust out guy, I would say, is Garendo, just because it's gonna, you know, it shouldn't be that difficult to get him the ball. I think you're in year two, you'll be able to line him up all over the formation in different spots because he'll know where to go. He really, you know, Bobby T says it's really important to him to be good. When you watch this guy on the practice field, you're like, oh my God, this guy is like a dragster. It's like he's just so, his engine is just the legs and the power and the speed is just, it's off the charts, man. And the fact that he can catch the ball that well, I mean, I think he could be an absolute mismatch nightmare. My prediction is by the midpoint of the year, the guys who play fantasy around the league are going to be like, hey, Garendo, because I think he's going to put up numbers. I think he's going to put up stats. He's too fast. He's too big. He's going to get like three touches, and he's going to have like 75 yards. And people are going to be like, whoa. Hey, Garendo, you know, and then he's going to get more touches and he's going to get more yards and he's pretty indestructible. So I think he's a bust out candidate for sure. Do you have a breakout candidate since we called this the new 49ers who could break out in 2025? I have a few that I'm going to throw your way, but I'd love to hear yours.
You know, one of the things I wanted to take place in the draft probably more than anything was adding that number three tight end, that move piece. Tight end. They didn't do it. And this was a great tight end class. And they passed on it.
Voluntarily passed. I mean, they could have had Jalen Conyers as an undrafted guy. Didn't do it.
They met with him four times. And yeah, he was available. So I'm going to go with one of Krug's 2024 gems. Just a year later, I'm going to go Mason Plyne. Why can't he go into that move spot and just be that guy that, hey, we're in the red zone. We're going 22 personnel, 12 personnel, two tight ends. Allow him to be that red zone target. I'm not saying he's going to get, you know, a 20 snap share a game or anything like that. But I think that he could pass guys like Braden Willis, pass guy like Jake Tonjes, pass those guys like Ross Dwelly, earn that number three role if he can contribute on special teams. That's kind of the big asterisk here. But why can't he be an extra red zone target? I mean, that if there's one thing that this guy can do, he's huge. He's a basketball player. He's got the athleticism. He's got the reach. He's got the jump catch radius. Allow him to develop in that. And I knew last year was a little bit of a tough stretch, but I want to see in Larry, you know, whatever. I was at training camp last year. He got no reps. He wasn't getting reps at all. Like, they were like, dude, you're a project to stay on the side, learn. I wonder if this year it's time. And I hope that he just gets the chance. Because I think he has something to offer that nobody else in this tight end room outside of George Kittle has. And that's the receiving prowess to be a weapon in the red zone and short yardage. I want to see Mason Plyne get some more work.
It's a good one. It's a good one. In fact, his agent reached out to me recently. He's kind of be on the Krug show coming up here. And we're fired up about that. I said, when do you want him on? He's like, in June. I'm like, all right. We're here. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Mason Plyne. He's smart. He's big. He's athletic. You know, and it's interesting. So this tight end room. Kittle makes the team. Farrell makes the team. And then I think Braden Willis, I've noticed that they're using as a backup fullback. So I saw Braden Willis being utilized as a fullback. So I kind of wonder if they're moving Willis from tight end to fullback, because they did add Ross Dwelly. They do have Tongas and they have Plyne. And I would imagine those three guys compete for one spot. Tongas, Plyne, and Dwelly, I think, compete for one spot. And Willis is competing for a backup fullback spot. That would be my guess. But that's a good one. I love the Mason Plyne bust out projection. I think he's a very good candidate to bust out. I think they intentionally didn't play him last year. They gave him the full redshirt year because they knew they had a basketball player.
He's been playing football for 3 years now. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but they gave him the full redshirt year. I mean, it wasn't like they were not tempted late in the year to put him out there. They weren't. And so I think that's a good sign. That means that they wanted to invest in him. So I think this is go time for him. I'll go bust out candidate. Sometimes you go to practice and you see nothing and you stand there and, you just don't see anything. Other times you go to practice and you see something that's freaking amazing and you're like, oh my God, am I seeing this? And I would say, you know, Brock Purdy's rookie year, when I went to minicamp, I was like, oh my God, this guy's mastering every quarterback drill. This guy looks better than Jimmy. This guy looks better than Trey. This guy looks better than Sudfeld. This guy looks better than the rest of these quarterbacks. Brock freaking Purdy. Okay, so that's what we saw a couple years ago. And sure enough, you know, so now if I'm in a mode where, man, I do not, if I see something, I don't hold back anymore. I'm not like, oh, you know what? That's not what I'm supposed to see.
That's why we love you, Larry.
Yeah. I don't hold back anymore. If I see something, John, that I actually really believe in, I don't doubt myself anymore. I don't sit there and go, no, but he's listed as this. So he's probably not very good. And I'm just not seeing it right. I now trust my eyes more because I've been proven correct on time and time again. And it's when I have trusted my eyes, I've made good decisions. There is a guy that I'm so over my skis on right now that I'm a little nervous. And it's Austin Pleasance, the offensive tackle, who was signed in January or December. You know, and when they just ran out of guys and Trent wasn't coming back, they needed to find a guy. Chris Forster told me this week, he's like, yeah, we had Pleasance in a workout camp and we thought he looked pretty good. But, you know, he was just the best guy in the workout camp. And we signed him. And then we threw him in there. And you remember he played at the end of the year. And then they were very surprised with how well he played. He played well, they said, at the end of the year. But Chris, I mentioned to Chris, I said, Chris, Austin freaking Pleasance, what the heck? And he looked at me and he's like, I know. And he was like, we had like a kinship there. And there was other people standing there asking questions, But Chris and I, Chris knows I know, and he, because I ask him questions every week. And a lot of guys bail out of the Forster presser to go run in the locker room. I always stay in there and ask Forster questions because he is one of these guys that can't tell a lie.
He's so hilarious, man. I love him.
He tells you all kinds of things if you just ask questions. This year we're not going to have him. He's going to it's going to be Kubiak because they've moved the roles. So we won't have Chris every week. But I said, Chris, what in the heck? Austin Pleasance. And he's like, I know. He showed up this summer, and it's like, he's bigger. He's stronger. He's like, he's one of the fastest moving big guys I've ever seen. He's 330 pounds. He's a solid 5 or 10 pounds bigger than Trent Williams. John, this guy was moving on the practice field. I thought I was watching like the offensive line version of Secretariat. I mean, it was unfreaking believable how fast Austin Pleasance is at this point. He looked so freaking amazing that based on what I've seen, I would say there is a chance that Austin Pleasance is your starter at right tackle and Colton McKivitz moves to left guard. Now, the Niners have it right now, Trent Williams at left tackle, Ben Barch at left guard, Jake Brendel at center, Pooney at right guard, McKivitz at right tackle. But if Austin Pleasance this summer looks as good in training camp as he looked in this mini camp, they're not going to be able to keep this guy off the field. He's too big. He's too fast. He's 27 years old. He's not 35, and he's not 20. You know what I mean? This guy's absolutely in his prime. He obviously worked out a ton in the offseason. The calves are just bowling balls. The guy's driving people around off the field. I mean, it's like the speed that this guy's getting to the second level at 330, I have never seen that from a 49er offensive lineman. I've never seen this kind of speed. So this guy is, I am cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over Austin Pleasance. And I'll say this, Dieter said the Niners will have a top five line. The one thing the Niners do have here, and it's like a lot of people bash the Niners in the offseason. It's funny, the O-line is like the one area. If you want to show me what level you're at with the Niners as far as do you follow them daily, whatever, the people that are ripping the O-line are the people that are the biggest casuals. And all I would say to that is, and I'm not saying, believe me, I'm not saying this O-line's great. I believe in PFF's numbers over Forster on Jake Brendel. Jake Brendel is 24th in PFF. He's number one in the heart of Chris Forster. I mean, it's just Brendel was with Forster in Miami. Forster recommended Brendel to the Niners, and they saved a lot of money getting beyond Richburg and Alex Mack, and they went cheap on Jake Brendel, and it's worked out. And so I think that's a success story from within. So that's maybe why there's such loyalty between Forster and Brendel. But forget Brendel for a second. Trent, Barch, Brendel, Pooney, McKivitz, let's just say those are your five starters. Your backups are Austin Pleasance, Nick Sakel, who they are playing at guard exclusively now, Matt Hennessy, who I think looks better than Brendel at center, Spencer Burford, who's playing tackle, and Andre Dillard. And then you still have Connor Colby, and you have Drake Nugent, and I know he really likes Drew Moss. And I got Chris to admit this week, John, that he's coaching Colby and Pleasance and Moss harder than he's coaching the other guys because he sees the potential in them. And he admitted it. He admitted it. He's like, yeah, you're right. I see these guys have talent, and so I'm in their ear constantly.
Chris Forster he's a beautiful dude, man. I love whenever he talks. I mean, it's just awesome. You know, it's just what an encyclopedia of just information and history and, you know, scheme. Now, the problem that I would have is that he does become infatuated with these guys to a fault. You know, you talk about the Jake Brendel and all that kind of stuff, like whatever. Now, if I'm looking at just career pathways, Austin Pleasance and Jake Brendel, I mean, they are birds of a feather. Austin Pleasance has been on five practice squads for five separate teams.
Right.
And, still young, and he's huge. My biggest issue with him, and just that smaller, I think he played like 40 snaps for the 49ers last year, you know, whenever Trent got hurt and then everybody else got hurt. It was just like, all right, throw whoever in there. It was just the sudden change direction. Yeah, he's got the length. He's got the size. I think he anchors well. I think that's probably his best trait. It's the sudden misdirection, set outside, going back inside. I like that you're talking about you're seeing the improved speed and agility. It's just that quick little, you know, if they press outside to go across face, can he close that down? That seemed to be an issue for him in the run and pass game last year, but we're talking about a 40-game sample size. So the question is, what is the route for Austin Pleasants? Is it you put him as a backup tackle and you allow him to develop, kind of like you did Jake Brindle, and then next year when Colton McKivitz leaves, you plug him in at right tackle, he's your right tackle of the future, or is it just he's too good to sit there? I don't know. This is someone, because you got to pass Andre Dillard. Andre Dillard,
yeah,
he's a pass.
And Andre Dillard got better in Green Bay than after Philadelphia. That there's no doubt in my mind that Dillard is better off for having been in Green Bay. You who's that guard for Green Bay that's developed really nicely? Is it Toth? Is that his name? Or I forget which guard it is for Green Bay. But Green Bay is a good place for offensive linemen to go to develop. And I thought Dillard definitely is a better player coming having been in Green Bay. I think the Dillard, Pleasants, Burford, that's going to be the competition for that swing tackle, those three guys. The other guys, Gutierrez and Alarcon, I don't want to say anything bad about anybody, but those guys I think are a step beneath, are below. It's Dillard, it's Pleasants, and it's Burford, probably battling for one or two tackle spots.
I know, and that's hard because do you release Burford? Do you say, well, Austin Pleasants has been around the league for a long time. We're just going to kind of Mason Plyne. We're just going to stash him. He's not going to make the 53. We're going to stash him on the practice squad. Like, Shanahan's notorious for these roster gymnastics. How do we manipulate things? Is he going to get one of those fake injuries that Shanahan gives like two guys a year? Oh, you got injured on the last day of practice. You're on IR. You're going to come back next year for us. How do you do that? Because even though if you're very critical of the offensive line, which I'm very critical of Jake Brindle, whatever else, not drafting any offensive tackles or centers, three consecutive years, only team in the NFL not to do that. I'm critical of that. They do have the bodies. They have the numbers. Are they the quality of numbers? If you can get an Austin Pleasants or a Spencer Burford or Andre Dillard to step up and be that swing tackle, man, again, if this offensive line plays well, you're in competition at worst for division title. Like, if this offensive line can gel and be a top unit, and if Austin Pleasants is about that, then that's huge. I think the depth would be awesome. Can he make the 53? There's a lot of guys fighting for that, but I love it, Larry. I appreciate that. And now we're going to be watching. How does he handle the quick, sudden changes of direction? If he can master that, hey, let's get him out there.
It's going to be interesting. Because Barch is definitely looking good at left guard, but Pleasants is looking amazing. And just, you know, if you want to get your five best offensive linemen on the field, he might be one of their five best offensive linemen. We'll have to see. And Connor Colby is another guy. You know, I asked Chris about Connor Colby, and he's like, look, Iowa's got such a good system, and they're really, really well coached. And a lot of times it's hard. He goes, you know, Chris said, and Chris made a good point, actually. He's like, you know, their system is so similar to us that you have to really fight yourself when you're watching the film saying, do I like this guy or do I just like the fact that he's doing what we want him to do, kind of a thing. But he really likes Connor Colby. And Connor Colby made 50 career starts at Iowa. And we'll see. You know, we'll see. I think Connor Colby is going to show up this summer. Another guy.
I just want him to make the roster. I don't want him to do what they did to Jared Kingston. Like, could you imagine if we just kept Jared Kingston? It's not the end of the world, but I want Connor Colby to have a multi-year chance. If it's not this year, that's okay. Just don't just keep that dude. Don't allow another team to take him, please.
It's the most underrated aspect of team building is knowing who to cut and who to keep. Because look at this 49er team. They could have, you know, if you cut somebody who goes somewhere else and plays well, you know, I mean, are the Niners better off because Samuel Womack is in Indianapolis? Are the Niners better off because they didn't go with DeSean Jameson, they went with Isaiah Oliver? You know, the one thing, if there's one thing that I could say is I wish the 49ers, you know, the guys who run the personnel side, would have a little bit more confidence to tell if you're going to be a good personnel guy, you have to get in the box and take swings. You can't just go with the safe route every week or every pick. You're going to have to take chances. So, you know, are they somehow afraid to take chances because they missed on a few? I hope that's not the case. Sometimes I get that. I mean, you know, so did they get rid of Samuel Womack because they didn't want to tell Jed that they signed some guy to a $1 million contract and waste $1 million of his money? Well, what's worse, that you wasted $1 million of his money or that you let a really good corner jump to another team and he's going to play for the next 5 or 6 years in Indianapolis? So I just want to see them have a little bit more courage of their convictions on some of their guys that they drafted, and we'll see where it goes. I really think Tanner Mordecai looks good on the practice field. Now, somebody in here is like, somebody in the chat was like, Tanner Mordecai, here we go, butthead. Larry's got Tanner Mordecai jersey in his back closet in case Tanner breaks out. He does look good. He really does. I mean, he has good arm strength. He has good foot speed, and he knows the system. So I threw this out. I think he looks amazing. What would you do, and what will the Niners do, if Tanner Mordecai, as he looked in this last round, let's say he looks like this all summer. Let's say Tanner Mordecai outplays Mac Jones. Then what? And I brought this up the other day because I was reading an article that Shane Steichen has done with Anthony Richardson in Indy, and that they may cut him. And I was thinking, you know what? What if Mac Jones has a decent summer but loses out to Tanner Mordecai? Would Chris Ballard offer the 49ers a draft choice for Mac Jones to back up Daniel Jones in Indy? And I think there's a possibility of that. And then the 49ers would have to decide who's their third quarterback. What do you think of picking up Anthony Richardson if he gets cut?
Oh.
And because here's the thing. Everything's got to work out right. If the Niners have Purdy 1, Jones 2, and Mordecai 3, and Curtis Rourke redshirting, everything's fine with the world. But if Mordecai beats out Jones, I don't think Jones is going to be happy being here as the third quarterback. And in that scenario, I could see the 49ers saying, hey, Chris Ballard, you want to give us a fifth-round pick for Mac Jones? You're going to have Mac Jones. Oh, you're going to cut Anthony Richardson? Hey, Anthony, come to town and you can be our third string backup quarterback and we'll develop you. Only reason this is intriguing to me is that Anthony Richardson is not Trey Lance. Anthony Richardson is 6'4", 250 with 4.4 speed. He's and massive arm strength. So I think Trey, at the end of the day, we missed on Trey. The Niners missed on Trey. Everybody missed on Trey. Largely because his skill set was falsely reported. His arm strength was not awesome. It was just ordinary. His accuracy was not okay. It was below average. And his mobility was not top tier. It was below average. So, you know, he really wasn't the big, strong, fast guy. But Anthony Richardson is big, strong, fast. What do you think of my scenario where Mordecai beats out Jones? Jones is not happy as number three. They trade Jones to Indy, causing Indy to waive Richardson, and then you sign Richardson as your number three. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. It's fun. I love these types of conversations.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys. Kids are always included and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
I would argue the 49ers 100% are keeping three, like, quarterbacks for the rest of Kyle Shanahan's whatever, right? The rule got adjusted because of the 49ers and Brock Purdy's injury. Like, the 49ers will always have three. And we saw last year, Josh Dobbs outplayed Brandon Allen 1,000%.
He really did.
Brandon Allen was still the number two. So even if Tanner Mordecai overplays, and again, I want to go back a little bit. I watched Tanner Mordecai in Waco Midway put it on South Lake Carroll. You know, he threw like five touchdown passes and knocked him out of the Texas playoffs with a way inferior team. Like, I've been a Tanner Mordecai guy. Like, this dude, he's got it. It's just, I think that he's a long-term play. And, you know, the speed, he can run, he can do all those things. I think Kyle wants him to be, you know, I think the long-term play is Brock Purdy for sure, Curtis Rourke and Tanner Mordecai fighting for quarterback 2 and 3 next year. That's kind of what I see. Now, I'm completely out on Anthony Richardson. The story of him walking over to the sideline saying, I got to come out of the game in the red zone because I'm tired on 3rd and goal. Like, and that was like actually had, like, I can't. I'm sorry. Like, it's a, like, what's John Lynch always say? We want guys that love football. Like, I'm sorry, this, you're not a quarterback tapping your helmet like I need a breather, but it's fun. Like, yeah, obviously he's a freak. He's unbelievable. One of the most athletic quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. I am as out on Anthony Richardson as possible, but for a quarterback,
you don't believe he can be developed. I'll say this, the skill set. I mean, I think we all know the skill set is what, once in a lifetime kind of a skill set. I mean, nobody's got this kind of size and speed, but I agree with you.
He's a
pulling
freak.
Yourself out of a game shows where he's
crazy.
At. But that's also why he would be a number three. Like, mm-hmm. I think he would be happy to be the Niners number three, where I think Mac Jones will be pissed if he's the Niners number three. And
agreed.
I don't know that I want a pissed number three.
Agree. So, and you know, you have Pearsall who played with Anthony Richards. So you pull Pearsall in the office, man, like, hey, talk to me about this guy. And you have like the videos. He was working out with Anthony Richardson. Him and Jacob Cowing were this offseason. So like, you've got some inside sources, some inside track there. But man, I there's no reality in my opinion. If I jump inside Kyle Shanahan's head and I do like being John Malkovich, like Kyle loves him. Loves him some Mac Jones. McCorkle Jones, like, he has McCorkle Jones bobbleheads at home, I swear. And so, like, I don't care how bad he is. They even released a Mac Jones highlight, San Francisco did, you know, on their official Twitter. Like, they gave him $5 million total guaranteed. Like, I think he's going to be the guy. But you're right. If he got benched, McCorkle's not a team guy. I don't think that he is that, and I don't think he ever will be that. But you're here for 1 year. You're on the Sam Darnold reevaluation plan, and hopefully he gets paid somewhere else. And I'm pulling for him, even though I don't like him, but I'm pulling for him because he's on the Niners and it's in our best interest. And hopefully he signs a gigantic deal and we get a huge comp pick next year. But, oh man, this quarterback room is always going to be fun, Larry. I like this idea though. It's fun.
I mean, it's wild. I mean, it's a wild idea for sure. But you know what? Occasionally I'll throw out a wild idea.
Let's get crazy. Let's get weird.
What do you make of the Ayuk discontent via Instagram? I'm too old to decipher it. I'm too old to analyze it. It's the whole thing is, I'm just annoyed by him. I don't really care that much at the end of the day, but there's just something really annoying about him. I'm not anti him. He's a hard worker and he, you know, it's not like he, you know, won't talk to me or whatever. He'll utter whatever he utters, but there's something wrong there. And I don't know what the issue is, but what do you make of Ayuk and the, I don't know, is it discontent? Is it boredom? Is it, Is he unhappy about his deal? Is he not like Shanahan? Does he want to be traded? There was a report over the weekend that Terry McLaurin wants out, and immediately Jordan Elliott and some other Niner media
Love
people
me
were
Jordan,
like,
man.
Jordan's the man. But Jordan was like, hey, Ayuk to the Commanders for Terry McLaurin. And you know what? I actually kind of think that makes sense. I mean, here's why I think that makes sense. We all know Daniels and Ayuk are guys. They're boys, right? Debo and Ayuk are tight. Ayuk is younger than McLaurin. Ayuk is signed. I can make an argument that if I were the 49ers, I would rather have McLaurin this year healthy and then have the ability to, because I think the Niners I don't think they hate Ayuk. I just think they want to get out from underneath that contract. And this would be a way to do it. What do you think of trading Ayuk and something to the Commanders for McLaurin and then letting McLaurin walk at the end of the year instead of extending him, and then you get out from underneath the deal?
Yeah, Terry McLaurin's a better wide receiver than Brandon Ayuk, in my opinion. Now, they have different skill sets. Ayuk is a separator. That's like he separates much better than McLaurin. McLaurin is a huge play waiting to happen. Scary Terry takes the top off, much better deep threat, all those things. The problem is, Terry doesn't even want to play this year for the Commanders. So if you trade him, like, you got to pay him. And I don't want to touch this wide receiver market ever again. There's no way in hell that Brandon Ayuk is unhappy with his contract, because that contract is stupid as hell. It's the worst contract next to Javon Hargrave the 49ers have ever given out. Like, but I like Brandon Ayuk. I just think that contract's bananas. You're talking back-to-back $45 million cap hits. That's insanity to me. But
Ayuk does have an out after 26 and 27.
Right.
And his 27 and 28 cap hits are both over $40 million.
I mean, it's huge. And so, like, I hated that contract. I wanted to trade him before, but I like Ayuk as the player. And I will say this, like, you've been at training camp. Ayuk was back-to-back years training camp player of the year. Like, he is a worker. It's just lately, last offseason, this offseason, he's just a talker. And he can't work because he's injured. And, you know, everybody gets injured. It's not like, you know, whatever. That's not his fault. It was a freak play. And, God, that is awful. It's just, man, how do you trade a player that's injured? So if you're the Commanders, why would we take Ayuk over Terry McLaurin? We see it as our Super Bowl window's open now. We were in the NFC Championship last year. We need healthy now. Sorry, you got to play. So, yeah, I would take Terry McLaurin over Brandon Ayuk. 100%. All this Instagram nonsense, I stay the hell out of it, man. I do not. I have.
Do you speak Instagram?
I do not. I pay somebody to run my Instagram, and I'm not an IG guy. I'm just going to be really honest with you. I'm a Twitter guy, which has its flaws as well. But I don't like spending my time on social media unless I'm posting or whatever else. I have no. Like, it's funny, my wife and I were talking, we were watching some dumb reality TV show or whatever else, and she was like, isn't, like, somebody having a baby? And I was like, I have no clue. Like, I don't follow that part. Like, I'm a football guy.
Isn't somebody having a baby?
I'm watching football. Yes. Like, that's what I want to do. And there are people that do that, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying I don't want to do that. So I'm not following social media. I've had Ayuk muted the word Ayuk for a little while on Twitter just because I'm just like, I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. I would like to do that trade. I don't think that it happens. I don't think you trade an injured player. That contract is garbage for any team that has it, but you got to take your medicine. So the good news, hopefully you have Ricky Pearsall, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, and Brock Purdy together for the next 4 years, and then allow that contract to expire and then kind of rebuild. I am not for paying wide receivers top-tier money. That position's so grossly overpaid.
Should be interesting. I don't know what to do with Ayuk, but I'll say this. If I could somehow throw some asset with Ayuk, get McLaurin, and somehow just, you know, have McLaurin this year and let him walk at the end of the year, or give him a an extension, but it's some kind of a more reasonable extension.
Yeah,
I would do it.
Oh yeah,
I would do it.
Oh yeah,
I would absolutely do it because I do think there's a diva side of Ayuk, and that part of his personality I don't love.
But if you do that, that just means Shanahan's going to be drafted a wide receiver in the first round again next year, Larry.
Yeah, but if it's the kid from Ohio State, I don't mind it. I don't know if that, you know, hopefully the Niners won't have that high of a pick. Was there anybody else from minicamp or from OTAs that you think is going to bust out? Because I've got two more names of guys that I think are going to bust out, and we haven't discussed them yet.
Yeah, let's go. I want to hear your guys because this is I'm being selfish John Chapman right now. When Larry talks, I listen.
Okay, so one guy who really looked good, I thought, last year, but he was too slow, was Tatum Bethune. And his instincts are awesome. He knows how to play inside linebacker. He can play inside linebacker on first and second down, but it's that third down where he was going to be isolated against an athlete in space and just kind of crushed. And so he needed to find more speed. And it's like, how do you find more speed? Well, you can't, right? You're as fast as you are. The only thing you can do is get in better shape or redo your body. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe they'll tell him to redo his body. And I asked Fred Warner about him the other day because I thought he looked amazing. Bethune looked amazing in practice. And he goes, yeah, I'm really impressed by Tatum, everything that he's doing. He's like, it's not just his play. He's like, he's remade his entire body, and he's a totally different athlete. And that's what I'm seeing as well, John. I'm seeing a guy who last year had great instincts, knew where to be, showed up at the football a lot of times. But didn't quite have enough speed. He had to find, it's like Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy didn't have requisite arm strength. He went to Jacksonville. He found a little bit extra. Now he's got requisite arm strength. Well, I think Tatum Bethune's the same thing, but with foot speed. He didn't have enough foot speed. He needed to pick up an extra step and a half or two steps. And he did. And it's an amazing thing. His body is leaner and faster. He looks different. This guy still has the instincts. Watch out for number 48 this summer. Most Niner teams go with six linebackers. It's Dre, it's Fred, it's Nick. Those are the top three guys. You signed Gifford. He's going to be there. That's number four. So you got two spots open, and you got Chaz Surratt, Jalen Graham, Curtis Robinson off an injury, Stone Blanton, who we mentioned before, and Tatum Bethune. And I'll go as far as to say Tatum Bethune's going to get one of those spots. He looks awesome. I think Tatum Bethune, if this extra speed is real, and it looks real, if this body reconfigurement is real, it looks real, dude, I think he is going to be a absolute surprise player for the 49ers. I think he's found the speed that he needs, and I think he's going to have a career. I really do. Watch out for Tatum Bethune this summer. He looked amazing in the OTAs.
You know, Robert Saleh comes in and kind of redoes the defense through the draft, and every single player that you got is an excellent A-plus run defender. That's the thing they're tackling. Stop the run first. Well, if Tatum Bethune is good at anything, that dude's an A-plus run defender. Has been every single year he's played. Even last year was great. Only had about 50 defensive snaps, but still A-plus run defender. The issue, and what has kept him from getting all the playing time, is like you talked about, the speed. He ran a 4.77 at the combine. Play speed's a little rough. He's not great in coverage. When they do those one-on-one drills, you know, in training camp, it's bad. Like, not a space player. So can that develop? And so if you could become a more complete player, yeah, he's decent on special teams. He had about 165 special team snaps. Wasn't awful. Wasn't great. But if you can get that speed and play better in space, you already have the A-plus run game attributes. So, like, that's there. That's paramount for the 49ers this defensive, you know, offseason. Can the speed, can the coverage, can those things no longer be a liability? Well, then, yeah, you've got a number four linebacker. That, man, you've got D Winters, you've got your rookie Nick Martin, obviously Fred Warner. Dude, that's a solid four. That's been DFF. Now, DFF has been the number four. He's the exact opposite. Terrible in the run game, great coverage guy. So I'll take Tatum Bethune and the upside over DFF any day, obviously, but can he get better in coverage? we'll see. But yeah, the thumper dude, he's so mean. And so I love that because that dude, he'll lay some people out.
Tatum Bethune. Just remember that name. I know a lot of people are like, you know, forgettable, this and that. No, watch this guy. He's got the instincts, as John said. What he's got, you can't really teach. And then the part was, could he find that extra step and a half? And most guys aren't going to do the work. But the Niners must have been real with him and said to him, hey, look, man, if you don't find an extra step, you're cut next summer. But if you can find an extra step, you may play 10 years in the NFL. Somebody got to Tatum Bethune and told him what the deal was, and he went and did the work. And, man, unbelievable. Watch for him this summer. He's going to be fun to watch. Another guy I got to throw out here because it's just – it was – it's, you know, once again, my eyes tell me this is a player. The Niners added this Sebastian Valdez from, you know, played at Montana – and then he finished up for the UW Huskies, and he's a 300-pound guy. But in the drills, like I watched the D-line drills very, very closely this week because they have so many new D-linemen. You got to watch how these guys react to each other after the reps, because if a guy gets owned in a rep, guys don't high-five him. Guys look down when that guy comes back to the huddle. And they're like, oh, you know, like, you know, they may say, hey, go get them next time or whatever. But they're not, you know, this is pro football. They're looking for results, right? If you get results, you get dapped up. Sebastian Valdez, after almost every rep, is getting, you know, violently dapped up by, like, every single guy. I mean, guys are, he's making an impact. I don't know. First of all, he's 6'4". He's 300 pounds. He had 34 reps of 225. So that would have been number one at the combine had he been invited. He wasn't invited to the combine. But that would have been number one among all defensive tackles. So this guy's very, very strong. His speed is ordinary. But he doesn't have any braces, no legs, no knee sleeves, no nothing. This guy's out there. He looks healthy. He's flying around. He's fast. The motor, the strength. I'm telling you, man, Sebastian Valdez is going to be fun to watch. I don't know. I'm not, you know, I was big on Spencer Wagey last summer. This guy's way more talented than Spencer Wagey. Who played a lot, who, you know, the key is with these secondary backup defensive tackles, do they play on the ground? Do they stay off the ground? And Wagey did not, but Valdez appears to be, and if you watch his UW film, it looks good. I'm just saying, Sebastian Valdez, watch him. Watch for him.
Yeah, I'm. It's funny. We're doing a 90-man roster series where we do, like, one video exclusively on each player, 91, you know, separate things. Sebastian Valdez, that's my work today. So, like, all morning I've just been going through his tape. Dude, strong as an ox, like you talked about. Strong. And the 49ers in this scheme, that 6'2", 6'3", 300-pound guy, that is just what they build around. There's not that many of you. You have Kevin Givens, you have Jordan Elliott, and you have Sebastian Valdez. So, like, that's it. All the other ones are giant, big-bodied run pluggers, but your traditional three-tech, there's not a lot of those on this roster. And, man, you're talking about somebody that, again, A-plus run defender. Now, when he was with Montana, he was known for his pass rush. Eight sacks, seven sacks. Transfers to Washington, the run game was still great. He got four quarterback hits, two sacks. So the pressure kind of dissipated with the quality of talent. But make no mistake, this is a undersized slasher that does not get moved. And that is a rare trait, because if you're a three tech that can hold up against double teams and that duo, you know, double blocking scheme that almost every single team in the NFL runs now, we call it inside zone for the 49ers, but whatever, that dude anchors. And so whenever you're not getting pushed back into the linebackers, that's huge. Jordan Elliott can't do that. Kevin Givens is better at it, but like Sebastian Valdez can do that. So another one of those A-plus run defenders with pass rush upside. Can it translate? He gets push, but does he impact the quarterback enough? We'll see. Like, I'm with you here, Larry. Sebastian Valdez, He just fits and checks a lot of boxes that the 49ers really covet on that defensive line spot. And they don't have those bodies. They just don't have those bodies right now.
No. No. And, you know, it's Valdez is going to be interesting to watch. There's no question about it because he's got some serious talent. All right, two chats and then we'll jet. Half Dead says, Krug, baby, babe, fuck our anniversary. We got Niners footballs on Sunday. There you go. Nightmare on any street. F your kids recital. We have the Rams coming up.
That was your quote. I love it, man. I love it.
Sorry, honey.
My first football coaching meeting, my very first time ever, right? Just got hired. And right. So we're having our very first like staff address. And the head coach starts with, you got to plan your pregnancies, guys. Nobody's giving birth in football season. You got to be here. And I was like, ha, 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 ha. And everybody's like, no, this is serious. Like, don't get pregnant during football season. You have to be here. And it was just like, all right, yeah, welcome to Texas football. This is
wow. Go. We're talking about high school.
High school football, man. Yeah, it's the way it goes.
Man, so did you go back and talk to the wife about that, or were you guys already?
I did not have that conversation with the wife. I was like, nope, I'm not saying
she's
this.
Not going I'll for that. She's battle. Not going for yeah, yeah. Well, that's going to do it for us. I hope everybody has a great Saturday. Thanks to Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Thanks to Learn Key Upskill Academy and Claw Daddy Arcades for sponsoring today's show. Thanks to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles as well. John, what do you got cooking the rest of your Saturday?
Man, going to be chill doing our roster countdown series and all that kind of stuff. But outside of that, going to take the youngster to the gym, get a little bit of weights in. And, yeah, man, relax. It's off season, baby.
Seriously, man. I went to the gym the other day, and I'm starting to bench, you know, heavy again.
Yeah.
And I put up two plates for the first time since 2006. 2006 was the last time I did two plates. And I've been working up to it, and I did 225 three times without a spot yesterday.
Ooh.
And I'm
Sasha Valdez ain't got nothing on you, Larry.
You know, and I'm sitting there, I'm looking around. I'm like, Did anybody see that? Because I normally have one of my kids working out with me, and I can be like, hey, look, you know, Dad outlifts you. So anyway, I'm very pleased. I'm going to the beach in June, so I decided, you know what, I gotta start throwing the weights around and see if I can get back to my college lifting weight. Once upon a time,
this guy
used to be able to bench 275. Two plates and a quarter, and I have, you know, now I look at it when I see guys, and I'm like, Jesus, that's a ton of weight, and I can't come. I'm 50 pounds shy of that right now. I mean, it took everything I had to do two plates three times. I mean,
you stud. I love it, man.
But you know what? You got to do it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. On that note, thanks to John. Thanks to all of you. Have a great Saturday, everybody. Peace. Yeah, never met a man
I've been scared of. Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.